Isaiah chapter 66, starting with verse 1. Follow with me on the screens. This is what the Lord says. This is what God is saying. How many know God can say it to Israel, but God also knew that we were going to say it, that we were going to hear it today. And let me tell you what, this is a word for you today. God says to us, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? And where is the resting place? Leave it there. Where's the resting place? Where is my resting place? Where will my resting place be? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, I mean, really? You won't make me a house? You know what? I hope you have, you know what? I mean, you can't make me a house. I'm too big. How many know if you're making Pastor Paul's house? I know it might be a little bit different. You know what I mean? You're going to make the, you know, doorways a lot taller. You're going to make the table countertops a lot higher. You know, you could do a custom house. But I mean, are you kidding me? How high are you going to make the countertops for God?
Very too high.
I mean, it ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? Well, I mean, where's his resting place? You know, were you going to get a hammock? How big is the hammock going to be? You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? See, exact, thank you. You can't do it. But watch this next verse after he says this. Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. God says to us today, listen, I don't care what the university professor says. I don't care what the science book says. The secular science book says, here's what I'm saying. I made everything you can see. And I'm declaring that true. It is true. You might not know it's true, but that is the truth. But look at what he says next. It's so interesting. He says this. These are the ones I look on with favor. Wow. Aren't you curious? Man, what's that going to be? Look, these are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word. Did I say contrite right? Okay. See, how many wanted the favor of God? Raise your hand if you want the favor of God. Well, here's what he says. Are you going to be humble? And let me explain humility, because this humility goes right in correlation with and who tremble at my word. You know what he means when he says tremble at my word? It's kind of the word picture of when a lieutenant or a sergeant in the military says, you know what, do something. I don't know if you're in the military and a lieutenant or a sergeant or somebody tells you what to do. It's like, oh, okay. It's not like kids sometimes, you know, and they're like, yeah, I'll empty the trash, you know, and as soon as this program's over, amen, and you go 12 o'clock at night and the trash isn't emptied. No, it's this immediate, I'm going to do it right away, you know what, absolutely, immediately. And think about it. Here's why you're saying this. Here's why you're saying this, because you're humble. Because you think, you know what, God is smarter than me. He knows more than me. How many of you remember when you ran your life? See, you don't even want to remember, huh? Don't go there, Pastor. You know what I mean? Here's why. And listen, and you were trying the best you knew how to get out of your mess. Amen? But you couldn't. And here's why. Because you weren't that smart. God is way smarter than us. So watch this. Somebody with a humble heart is somebody with an obedient heart to do what God says. Because they think, I'm going to do what God says because he knows best. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Who wants the favor of God in their life? Well, if you want the favor of God, you have to have that contrite heart. You have to have that humility. You can't say, yeah, I know God said this, but I'm going to do it like this. You have to say, no, listen, you have to tremble at his words. It's like, oh my goodness, I wouldn't even think about not doing it. How many know besides Brian, I'm setting you up? Brian was in the first service. How many know I'm setting you up? Okay. Think about, what am I setting you up for? Yeah, obedience. I want you to be obedient. I'm setting you up because here's what I'm saying. If you want the favor of God, you need to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. And listen, and this specific day, I'm setting you up to say, you know what we need to be obedient? Well, let me show you. Matthew chapter 28. We looked at this last week, but I want to look at it again. Matthew chapter 28. Look what it says. And Jesus came and spoke to them. What do you have right there? You have God's word. Are we ready to tremble? Are we ready to say, God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do? Saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Next verse. Go therefore. Everybody say that. Go therefore. Everybody say that. Go therefore. Go. Go. Here's what God's saying. God's saying, go and you make disciples. And yes, God was talking to the apostles, but God is also talking to us. And he's saying, go. I want you to go. I want you to be effective. I want you to make a proactive plan. Can I tell you, I shared this with the first service and I'll share it with you. I have passed out more cards, invited more people in the last 2 weeks than I have in all of last year. Give me a surprised gasp. I'll say it again. And when that's like a yay. No, it's like a surprise gasp. That's okay. But wait till I say it. I have given more cards out in the last 2 weeks than I gave out in all of 2017. They were good there, huh? That was good. Now, before you're looking at me with your condescending, self-righteous attitude, I'm just saying, I'm just asking. How many recognized, you grade your own paper, but how many recognize I probably gave more cards out in the last 2 weeks than you gave out in all last year? Yeah. Can I have the same gasp right now? See, and listen, and we think, because here's what we think. Here's what we think. Everybody thinks it's somebody else's job. So you think, you know what, evangelism, that's crazy. That's pastor. I'm not a pastor. I didn't go to Bible college. Pastor, that's your job. You know what pastors think? Pastors think, well, I'm teaching the word. You're supposed to do it. And you're saying it's my job, and I'm saying it's your job. And the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, you know what, Drew? It's all our jobs. And you can't expect them to do what you're not doing. And you're not doing this, so you have to start. Come up with a plan. I'll give you a plan. She said, but Pastor, wouldn't I be more effective? Isn't it the most effective to pass out cards to my oikos? Oikos is your 8 to 15 circle of influence. Who are those people? That's your UPS driver. That's my UPS driver that I've known for over 10 years. He drives by. Even if he doesn't have a package, he honks and waves. He says, Drew! He knows my name. Every time. I mean, he's, you know what? That guy is different than the people that I passed out cards to yesterday. Why? Because that's my oikos. Oikos is my three kids. Oikos is, you know what, my mother-in-law, my wife, my cousins. You know what, the guy who cuts my hair. Do you understand? Those are people that fit 8 to 15, that God has placed in my circle of influence. But here's what I want to say. That once I started going across the street and passing out cards, I'm way more conscious of inviting people.
You know why the missionary is so effective in evangelizing? You know why the missionary is so effective in evangelizing? Because he's on purpose. She's on purpose. They hear from God. They go to a different land. Many times they go overseas. Many times they have to learn a different language. They're eating foods that are like so many, many places, very, very different. You know, how many know if some of you went to India, you know what? You would lose a lot of weight if you went to India. Why? Because I know I would lose a lot of weight because those spices, I'm not used to eating. You know what I mean? It would take a whole time for your tongue to be acclimated. Wow. New language, culture. You're going to do things over there. You didn't even think you offended anybody. And everybody else is looking. You're like, can you believe they did that? And you don't even know. How many know that's non-effective? I thought you said they're effective. They're effective because they're purposeful. They're non-effective because they have such a learning curve. Can I tell you what? When I go across the street and pass out cards, you know what? This is my culture. When I was in the third grade, we moved to Whittier, and my dad started pastoring in Pico Rivera. And besides a short time in Newport Beach, this is where I'm at. This is who I know. I understand the culture because I've been raised in this culture. This is my culture. And so because of that, I'm very effective. We can be very effective. Why? Because we understand the culture. But here's the thing. When God says go, I think there's just a casualness of, you know what? Well, I know he said go, but that's not for me. That's for somebody else. And what I'm saying is, if you want to have favor, how many want the favor of God?
Oh, there it is, favor.
See, we want the favor, but we've got to, when God says go, we've got to go. And here's what we do. We're like, you know what, but Pastor, I'm 70. That's for the younger folks. You know what I mean? Well, I'm a plumber. I'm an electrician. I'm a secretary. I'm in school. I've got three kids. I've got two kids. You know what? I'm a single mom. I'm a single dad. You know, I have short hair. I have long hair. I have a man bun. You know what? Who cares? Who cares? Do you understand? It's just a con. It's just a joke. It's just a lie. You know what it is? There's no trembling in what God said. God said, go, so go. Get busy. I got cards back for you. Yeah, but it's not very effective to pass it out to somebody you don't know. Well, listen, it might not be as I tell you one thing for sure. It's more effective than doing nothing. It's more effective than doing nothing. You know what? Yesterday I went across the street, and let me tell you something. I went across the street different than I went across the street the week before. The week before I went across the street, I'm like, oh, you know what? Everybody, you know what? It's like I'm singing that song. You know what? You know, everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. You know what I mean? I think I'll eat a worm. You know what I mean? You guys don't know that song? Okay, some of you do. Okay, anyway, here's my point. My point is I didn't walk across the street like that yesterday. Why? Because, can I tell you about Satan? His bark is way bigger than his bite. See, I went across the street excited yesterday. And I went excited because I thought, you know what? God is going to send me people that I can minister to. I went across the street, and here's what I thought. I thought, Matthew, because I taught it the week before. I went across the street, and I thought, oh, my goodness, Matthew, chapter 28. Go in all the world, preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you. I thought, I ain't going over here alone. I'm leaving with the power of Jesus Christ. God is inside me. I'm the hope of, I'm gonna share awesome stuff with people. So simple. So simple. I want to show you two videos quickly. One's a video of how not to do it. We'll look at that one first. Okay, then I'll talk a little bit. Then I'll show you the video how to do it. Here's how you're not to do this. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Go. No, 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 no. Did I say no? You can turn the lights on. We're all in the dark right now. Okay. You guys don't have the... Remember the video we showed in the first service? It's the same one, but it's how not to do it. You don't have that? You don't have that? Okay, I'll just show you the one. How this is how... And let me talk first. You say, Pastor, what did you do? Here's what I did. I just went across the street and introduced myself. You know what? I didn't run to the mall and, you know what, try to buy a pair of skinny jeans that I can't fit in, you know what I mean? Right? I didn't do that, you know what I mean? I didn't run across the street and get a Starbucks and, you know, think, you know, try to act like, you know what, I'm all cool cat with my Starbucks and skinny jeans. I am who I am. I just went across the street. And I thought, you know what? And here's all I did. I just had cards. I had cards in English and Spanish. Why would you have cards in English and Spanish? Well, look around. Because there's people who, you know what? Who need a card in Spanish. And aren't you glad we have a church that we can minister in Spanish? I said, aren't you glad about that? Yeah. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm prepared. I went across the street, but all I did is I just, and what did you do? I just saw people. And they're you know what, and they're getting a donut, and they're, you know what, and they're going to the bank, and they're going in to, you know, get, you know, some oil for an oil change. They're just, that's what they're doing. And I just introduced myself to them. What'd you do? I said, this is deep. I said, I'm Pastor Drew. And I pastor Hope Community Church. It's right across the street. And I just wanted to invite you to our service tomorrow. And I gave him a card. That's all I did. And to some people, you know what? I talked a little bit more because they were open to it. And that's what's going to happen to you. Happened to me last week. Happened to me again yesterday. There was a guy sitting in a car, and I just, you know what? And he thanked me. And I could tell there was a receptivity that he had. And then he said, all I did was just invite him to church and introduce myself. And he said, I'm new here, and I'm looking for a church. And I said, you know what? And just talk to people. You know what I mean? If they're willing to talk, just talk. And I said, where'd you move from? And he told me, and we just started talking. Great conversation. He might have been in the first service. I don't know. Might be in the service. If you're here and I introduce you and invited you, I'm glad you're here. But if you're not, maybe he'll be here next week. We don't know. All I'm saying is just be real with people. Just connect with people. You don't have to be anything. You know what the best testimony is? You know what the best testimony is? It's your testimony. It's your testimony. Oh, my pastor, it would be so better if I, like, was on drugs for 8 years. No, it wouldn't. That's their testimony. That's somebody else's testimony.
That's right.
Whatever your testimony is, that's the best because you're saying it from the heart. It's who you are. But here's what I'm saying. If you don't decide to be on purpose, you've got to make a decision. I'm going to do this. And what will happen is your mindset will change. I've been over across the street many times. You know what? Getting my jelly-filled donuts. And listen, and here's the thing. You know what? I never think I looked like I did yesterday. You know, I'm not as nimble as I was the week before, you know, because of my injury. And so, you know what, there was one point, and I'm at the sidewalk, and I see about eight people all at the same time. And all of a sudden, I just thought, you know what? I bet that every single one of these people are hurting. See, we live in an interesting place. We do surveys, and they ask people, are you a Christian? And almost everybody says yes. You know, 70, whatever it is, 74%, 78% say that they believe in Christ. They're Christian. They identify as Christians. But how many know, you know what? Most people, even people that are going to a church, sometimes are going to different places, and they're not really teaching the Word of God, or they're not engaged, or they identify, but they're not going to a church. Oh yeah, I go to such and such church. And the reality is, they haven't been to that church in, you know what, in 4 months. They stroll on in every once in a while. And here's the truth, and they're hurting. And people who aren't going to church, they're hurting. Here's what I'm saying. If I guarantee you today, you know what, over in that parking lot, there are tons of people that are going to be there all day, walking in, walking out, buying donuts, buying oil, you know what, going to the bank, and they have something in common. They're miserable. And they're hurting. And here's the thing, they don't even know the answer. And all we have to do is just walk across the street and give them a card and invite them to church and introduce yourself to them. Hi, I'm Brian. You know what I mean? I play bass. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm part of the worship team, the church across the street. You know what I mean? Hi, I'm Richard. You know what I mean? And I, you know, it started going to that church, whatever he says. You know, how long has it been, Richard? Okay, I've been going to that church for a while. And I play guitar, and I love this church. But let me tell you, I love Jesus. I just want to invite you to the church. Amen. And you'll be amazed what will happen. See, you know what it is? You know what it is? It's a willingness to be available to God. Available to God. Will you? Because you know why I'm connecting with people every week? Because I'm available to God. And I don't do it because I'm the pastor here. I don't do it because I'm the pastor here. Why do you do it? Because God spoke to me and he said the whole church needs to start doing ripe. We need to read, we need to invite, we need to pray, and we need to expect. The whole church. And so because I'm part of this church, I looked at my life and I said, you know what? I've got to come up with a plan. Oh, yeah. Listen, do me a favor. You walk out with a plan today. People don't plan to fail, but they fail to plan. And if you don't have a plan, you know what? You'll do what I did week after week after week after week last year, coming into church and having not invited anybody to church. I'm just telling you my story. But let me tell you my story also. I come in today with a greater expectation. I come in expecting who's going to show up. Maybe somebody who I invited is going to show up today. And I'm excited about that. I'm thrilled. I'm believing that there will be a day very soon. I'm already planning on it. I can show you the expansion of the South Sanctuary.
Well, Pastor, this is the expansion. It is the South Sanctuary.
No, you don't know. I can show you. I got it on my phone. I can show you the expansion of the South Sanctuary. Oh, yes, hallelujah. We're going to do this thing outside. We are going to do this thing outside. And I've got some awesome praise reports. I don't have time today to share it to you, but I got some awesome praise reports about how God is moving the ball forward, you know, and as far as going outside. Awesome praise reports. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God planning. I'm talking about expect. There's an expectation I have. And part of the reason is, here's why. Because I believe that you're going to be just like me. That you're hearing God and you're thinking, Why didn't I invite anybody last year? Or why did I only invite three people last year? I want the favor of God. See, this isn't my responsibility. This isn't your responsibility. This is our responsibility. Amen. This is our responsibility. And yes, 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 yes. Invite your oikos. Invite your neighbors. Invite your friends. Invite your relatives. Invite your sons. Invite your daughters. Invite your parents. Invite your grandparents. Invite the 8 to 12, 15 circle of influence. But let me tell you what, you'll run out of people real fast at 5 a week. And could it be that God is speaking to you just like God spoke to me and said, you know what, Drew? Stop talking about it. Stop being like the rich young ruler. You know what? Leaving sad. Listen, conviction that brings sadness is ridiculous. Conviction that brings change, you know what, is godly. And that's what God wants. So as I sat there and I see these eight people and I recognized, you know what all these eight people have in common? And you say, yeah, Pastor, you're judging them. I don't believe I was judging anybody. I'm believing I'm having a spiritual moment to open my eyes and seeing eight hurting people all at the same time and recognizing I can't get all eight cards. And I had compassion at that point in time. Listen, I'm not supposed to do it all. I'm supposed to just do my part. But imagine a church. Imagine how quickly we would be packed. How many would say, I'm just asking. I'm just asking. You can judge it however you want. Don't feel obligated. You can give me any grade. You can give Tamara and I, you can give the worship team any grade that you want. But how many recognize as this church, there is a consistency of preparedness on my heart to bring a message that is engaging and that you don't fall asleep in? How many would recognize, and that's challenging but encouraging, how many would recognize that the worship team, you know what, knows the notes that they're supposed to play? And they do it with a high level of efficiency. How many recognize that even the call to offering is done in a tasteful, biblical way? How many were greeted with cheers today, with smiley faces, and you know what, saying you can sit wherever you want, but let us help you find a seat? How many have kids that you know the competency, you know what, that you're over here, you ain't even thinking about your kids. Not because you don't love your kids, but you know they're safe. How many, I'm asking, would give the quality of service consistently every Sunday at Hope at least a B+? Raise your hand if you say, that's Pastor, that's absolutely true. I'm not asking, somebody says an A, praise God, but at least a B+. Here's what I'm saying. Guys, you have an awesome church. You even have seats that, how many are comfortable in those cushiony seats? We went to a church the other day. I'm not ripping on them because the service wasn't done in the main sanctuary. But we sat in some seats, and I tell you what, no lie, the cush was this big in the seat. How many know with a cush that big, your tush is going to feel it pretty soon? Somebody say amen to this. All I'm saying is, listen, these things, we try to think through everything because we want you mainly to focus on being connected with God. That's the main purpose. And these people that are out there, you know what? They're out there week in and week out. And all I'm suggesting is that together we can pack this place out. We can pack this place out. I'm telling you, the vision for Hope is that we would have a huge imprint on our community for Christ. that we would expand what God wants to do. How many have come in and you've left different? How many, I'm just asking, how many of you, your marriages, your kids, your life has been substantially changed for the better since you started coming to Hope? Well, I say, you know what? Let's find 8 more people like you, because they're deserving. And then after we find those 8, let's find another 8 more. And then let's find another 8 more. And let's find another 8 more. And then let's bust this wall down. You know what I mean? And let's create a sanctuary that, you know what, isn't just, it doesn't have a quarter stage. It doesn't have a quarter stage. But has a, what is it? A half stage. Could we do that? We absolutely could. And I've already talked to the city, and the city has already told me that we have close, even with going far out that way, that we have enough parking that we, and parking's usually the main hindrance, that we have enough parking that we can put 390 people with how many parking spaces we have. Amen. 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 But how many know we've got a job to do ourselves in filling this place? And I enjoy how full this is. But raise your hand if you have a seat that's empty next to you. See, how many know what that's saying? We got some work to do. Praise God. And I thank God because the first service was even more full than this. But imagine if everybody in the first service will just do what I'm doing. And everybody in the second service will just do what I'm doing. 2 things are going to happen. 1, we're going to fill this place. And 2, God is going to smile on you. And his favor is going to be on you. Here's why. Because when he told you to go, you didn't say, nah, it's somebody else's job. It's George's job. And George is way more, you know, he's kind of, you know, extroverted. He's extroverted. You know what I mean? That's what he does. No, you said it was your job. And I'm telling you, is it your job? It is your job. It's my job too. Like one of my professors said, you know what? Don't add water to the soup. You just make the soup watery. Hey, you did a great job today. I was thinking, man, I think I'm going to have you do that most of the time now. You did a really good job.
All right, thank you. All right.
She gets all shy.
Yeah, I'm a shy George, huh? Tyler, when he was a little kid, I don't know why, he was like, as soon as he could talk, you know, a year and a half, 2, I don't know, he would always say, you're a shy George. And we would all look at each other like, what does that mean? But he would call everyone shy George. We don't even know what shy George is to this day, but once in a while, we're shy George. That's just in the family now. I love as I heard Pastor Drew share, I was thinking, you know what, really, I think what it comes down to is us really experiencing Jesus ourself. You ever do something and you get kind of out of, it becomes a habit, it becomes habitual?
Yeah.
You know what? Well, in obeying Jesus, which we do, it can become habitual,
right,
if we don't keep it fresh. Doesn't that happen in a marriage relationship too? Doesn't that happen in a family relationship? Any relationship that you can think of, it can become very just habitual. Or it can stay fresh. What's the difference? Our heart. You know what? How we're, our heart and what's in our heart and how we think about that relationship. So one of the things is Pastor was sharing that, and I thought, you know, really every one of us, if I go to a restaurant and it's awesome and you get within my distance, I'm going to tell you about it. If I find a good deal on some shoes somewhere and you get within my distance, I'm going to tell you about it. Amen. Right? There is no greater thing in my life. You say, well, Tamara, what's been the most important thing in your life, really? It was coming to know Jesus. I mean, it has changed my life so much. I wasn't on drugs. Before I was even 21, I decided I'm not even going to drink. Right? For reasons, you know what? Just I saw the destruction of alcohol around me. So I was not like desperate for someone to help me and I found Jesus, my crutch. It wasn't like that. I was living a pretty good life, minding my own business. Pastor asked us a couple weeks ago, who introduced you to Jesus? And when he got to me, Tamara, who introduced you to Jesus? I was like, the answer was the Holy Spirit, I guess, because nobody. I was driving to work one day, and out of nowhere, I got this very, very strong thought. I want to go to church. It was a very strange thought because I'd never been to church a day in my life. But it just burned within me. I mean, I was driven. I'm going to church, whatever that is. I could have been one of those people bald at the airport with beads and everything and tambourines. You know what? Because I knew nothing. I didn't know that there was such a thing as a cult. I didn't know what was a cult and what wasn't. I don't know nothing. I'm just as blank as you're going to get. And I'm looking for a church like I know what I'm doing, right? So it could have gone anywhere, but it didn't. And you know why it didn't? Because that was the Spirit of God who was drawing me. And so as he drew me, surely he directed me. And many of you know that testimony. But that changed my life. I sat thinking as you were sharing about the eight people, and I thought, you know what? I don't care how great your life is, which my life was great, or how not great your life is. We all need Jesus. And we as believers would say, yeah, that's true. We know that. But is it knowing that, do we really know it? That we would be compelled to have a heart as he saw the eight people and thought, wow. Because everyone's got stuff that's going on in their life. Even as a believer, I got stuff in my life. I mean, just when you become a believer, life is just roses and daisies forevermore then. No, life happens around all of us all the time. But there's a big difference between going through life with Jesus and without him. And do we really value what we have? I remember after I became a new believer and became knowledgeable of some of the things of God, I was just like, wow, I was so... Why didn't anyone tell me? You know what I mean? I mean, I would have days where I would just regret, why did I find him when I was 21? How come no one ever told me before that? I was probably 20, actually. Why? I don't know. But here's what I do know. Since knowing him, I just sat there thinking about the value that he has been in my life. And to have such a value, why would we not be on point to give that precious gift that we have to have that relationship with him to others? It really is kind of, I mean, I'm talking about my own conviction now. It's really a selfishness almost, you know what I mean? Our life is good, and so we just kind of drop kingdom business because it's going good for us. But I thought about as Pastor Drew shared that, just some of the different things that has happened in my life just because I know Jesus. And if it doesn't make sense, some of you, that this is your home, you say, oh, yeah, I know that testimony. And you'll know many of my testimonies that I have because of Jesus Christ, just things that have taken place in my life that I've been able to, you know what, access the Holy Spirit. Because of Jesus, my marriage and my family you know what, are rescued. You know what I mean? Right? We've heard Pastor Drew's testimony. We have a way better marriage. See, getting married and thinking that your life is all great and really working through life together is two different things. But many people go through, you know what we went through, but they're not together. Amen. And their families suffer. Yeah. And their children suffer. So because of Jesus, because of the Word of God, because of my relationship with the Lord, I'm different than many women that I know. Amen. Sorry, my phone flipped on me. Because of Jesus, the Holy Spirit who's been given to me through that relationship, as I was leaving one day, the Holy Spirit said, go put the baby monitor on. Because of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Drew heard our son gasping for air on that monitor. I was gone just a half hour, and the next thing you know what? There's ambulance and fire trucks all over, and my son is in that ambulance. I left him in a bed sleeping. What happened? I don't know. But here's as you many of you know, he heard the baby gasping for air on the baby monitor. And I struggled six times to go put that thing on her. You know what? That was just the Holy Spirit would not let up. Thank God I heard him, and I did what he asked me to do, right? I had no idea what was at risk that day. Another day just like that. You know what? Because of Jesus, because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, as my son was riding off one day without a helmet after being told just moments before to make sure he had his helmet on, yes, you can go on that bike ride, but put your helmet on. And the Holy Spirit points out, look at there, he ain't got no helmet. So his daddy flagged him down, got his helmet on him. Hours later, I'm getting a phone call that my son's been hit by a car. Thank God he didn't go out that day without his helmet. No, literally, thank God he didn't go out without his helmet. Because of our relationship with the Lord and the things that we practice in the Word of God, that we obey God, that he is our Lord, there was a home that we wanted to buy. It was twice, the home I live in now is twice the price of the home that we wanted to buy that we couldn't afford. But I'm in that home anyway. And we're not struggling, we're not so stretched out in our budget that we can't make it. It was just God all over the place, and that's a long testimony. Because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, my mom, who they told her she needs hip surgery, she's never had hip surgery, and by the way, she has no hip pain either. Because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit, my brother, who is legally blind, is no longer legally blind. He can drive. He got his driver's license back. Because of my relationship with the Holy Spirit and my relationship with Jesus, my brother, same brother, who they told he needed double knee replacements, has never had double knee replacements. He's absolutely not in any pain. And his cartilage has all regrown. That's all the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? So, and then all the tragedies that have happened in my life, the Lord is right there with me with those too. And he's comforting me in the things that life happens. He's there for me. And he's my comforter. Why wouldn't I tell somebody about the Lord? Why wouldn't I, you know what, be really on point with my own life? Pastor Drew said in the first service, I don't think he said it here, you know, sometimes we don't, if we're going to go on a diet, we don't announce that diet. I'm going on a diet. You know, well, we don't want to tell nobody, because if we tell them,
And then they see us eating our jelly donut, they'll say, I thought you were going on a diet, right? Right? So we just think we're going to go on a diet, and we think about it, and we might not, and we dang well know we might and we might not, which is why we don't say nothing. Because then when we decide the not, we don't have any accountability on us. Go ahead.
So here's what I said in the first, so I'll just be real quick. So here's my commitment, and you can take this challenge if you want. You know what I mean? I can't do your homework for you. I can't anyway. I can't tithe for you. I can't give for you. I can't do any of that.
Yeah.
But I can be an example to you. So here's what I told the Wednesday people. Here, you can come to me any Sunday of this year. Any Sunday this year, and you can look me in the face and you can say, Pastor, did you hand out 5 cards today? I mean, this week? Did you do it Sunday to Sunday? Because last year, there were times that you never could say, you know, if you would have asked me, I'd say, I didn't invite anybody, if I'm being honest with you. And not some fake out, yeah, I invited my sister, you know, I've invited her 88 times, you know what I mean? She's my go-to invite. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 5 cards. Everybody say cards. You won't come to me one Sunday this year that I will not have at least invited 5 people through cards. And I said that to the Wednesday people because, boom, it's like the diet. Now, and listen, and with no condemnation, there's any Sunday you can ask me. You can ask me, why are you doing that? One, because I need to be purposeful. I need to get on purpose. Last year, as far as this I was not on purpose. We need to get on purpose. And I want to be an example for you. I wonder if some of you could take that commitment. Imagine if every single one of us, every single one, first service, second service, Esperanza, 6 o'clock service tonight, every single one of us said, we're committing to 5 cards a week, just 5 cards a week, but there won't be one day. Imagine if we could all say that. How quickly do you think this place would be packed? How quickly do you think I'd have to be across the street talking to the people at Home Depot as far as, you know what, having a partnership with their parking lot? I say it can happen. And you know what? And people can say, nah, they'll never do it. They'll never do it. They'll never do it. Well, listen, you don't know. You don't know our people. You don't know Hope. And I say, you know, I got the E. I am expecting that you're going to say yes.
Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Let me read it to you. It says, watch your life and the doctrine closely. So we need to know what the Word of God says. And he's telling us to take heed to ourselves. Watch your life and your doctrine. Preserve them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So as we profess to be believers, as we're serious about the things of God, we're just going to end up, you know what, sharing and talking. And people are going to see, you know what, Christ in us. And we're going to, you know, those 5 cards, they can be cold. I mean, I understand when people say those are cold calls, you know, if you will. But they can be hot calls. As you take them today, you're not trying to squeeze them all in just the last couple hours of Saturday.
Yeah.
But that you take them today, you pray over them, and that you're on point, that the Holy Spirit would, you ask, you have not because you ask not, Father, help me to know who to give these 5 cards to. Open up opportunities for me to be able to share who you are in my life and to be able to invite people. And if we do that, you know what? Spirit of God does that. And then you've got the cards in your purse or pocket or truck or, you know, I mean, man bag, whatever you got going on. You got the cards. And then you're able to, you know what? Be a vessel for the Lord, the hands and the feet, that you're out there and you're letting him direct you and move you and help you to reach people
you know what? That he knows that he's been working on their heart. It's interesting that the people that Pastor Drew comes across their path, many of them have a lot of questions. He's not saying, you know, do you have 17 questions you'd like to ask me right now? They have questions. You know what? God, he's making himself available that he could minister to people around him so that they can have what we have. Amen? Very, 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 very important that we would share what we have. It's part of what we're supposed to be doing. It's part of our lordship, which is why what happens, you know, you heard Pastor Drew, more in the last 2 weeks than all last year. Why is that? Doesn't matter why it is. Here's what matters. You know what? It's changing. You know what? He's repented and said, okay, Lord, you know what? I'm going to be way more on point, you know what, with this. And that's the same thing for all of us in wherever we're at. Amen? Whatever the situation is, whether it's sharing our faith or something else. Amen.